Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5, 51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Let's go stack guts combat. Odd, 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook, breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome inside the Playbook. It is game week number one for the Patriots against the Buffalo Bills. Monday Night Football here at Gillette Stadium coming up this next Monday. The only saving grace about that is that we might actually be out of Gillette Stadium before it gets to be Tuesday next week, since it's a 7 o'clock Eastern time kickoff. Amen. Eric Scalabino.
I doubt it.
Huh? You don't think so?
Oh, I think we might.
Yeah, I bet we do.
I'll
wager that I will be in the parking lot in the traffic before you will be.
Oh,
that's true.
That's a safe bet. That's a safe bet.
But it will be, hopefully, somewhere.
It'll be a lot better than getting home at 3 or 4
in the morning. When you consider the game kicks off at 7, with all the interminable television breaks that the networks get in, I'm thinking probably 3.5 hours, between 3.5 and 4. So the game will be over 10:30, 11 o'clock Eastern.
Oh, I hope it's closer to that 10:30, John.
Well, if it is 10:30... then I would say I have a shot at getting out before midnight.
Okay.
Just because of the lot. If it's 11 o'clock, I'll probably still be in the lot somewhere.
Okay.
Or on Route 1 close to the stadium. By the way, Eric Scalavino, Patriots Football Weekly. There you go.
Quick prediction.
Yes.
Pats jump out to a 21-0 lead on the strength of Tom Brady's arm.
Right.
Wes Welker and Randy Moss's hands.
Yep.
And then they proceed to run the ball for the next 3 quarters, and the game gets over before 10 o'clock.
Ooh.
From
your mouth to the football god's ears. You know, I would tend to probably go along with that. Part of what we have done in past years, and by the way, I aired yesterday. This is actually the 9th season of Patriots Playbook, because I got to thinking on the way home yesterday, I'm thinking, we started this in 2001 before Gillette Stadium was ever built. This is the 8th season for Gillette Stadium.
Yes.
Can you believe that?
Yes. I know it.
That's hard to believe, isn't it?
This
is the 8th season for this facility that we're in, and already I think we're in need of an upgrade.
Which is the show before, when it wasn't?
We actually remember you probably don't even remember this. This is well before you got here, but this was when the offices were in the little industrial park down here in Wrentham.
Oh, right up Route 1?
Yeah, right up Route 1.
Yeah, I went to those offices once, so that's where it was?
That's where it was. That's where we did the show that first season. Huh. So this is actually year 9 for Patriots Playbook, and year 10 for Patriots.com radio. So, you know, we're starting our second decade for online radio broadcasts, and still, as far as I know, and I did just a kind of a quick perusal among some of the other teams that I know that are into electronic media and some of their streaming on the websites, we're still the only team of 32 in the NFL, I believe, that does live radio programming every day.
Really?
Yes. On the website. I believe that is the case. Now, there are a lot of teams
The Eagles have a lot of stuff.
They
going
stream
on,
a lot media-wise. Of their news conferences, and a lot of teams do podcasts where they'll record it and upload it and things like that. But in terms of live radio style talk show programming, the Patriots are still the only team of 32 in the NFL that do this kind of production, and we're in our 10th season of doing it. So how about that for being trendsetters?
And
pace setters.
Still setting it, obviously, if no one else has done it yet.
As far as I know. It's probably because they don't want to pay anybody. Are we getting paid for this?
Not really.
That's what I was afraid of. All right, so let's make sure you know how to get in touch with us. Webradio@patriots.com, the email address, same email as the PFW and Progress Boys. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. That's area code 508-543-7482, the telephone number. Traditionally, on Thursdays in past years, we have asked for your participation in terms of naming the score, and I certainly would like to continue with that. So if you haven't had a chance to get in your thoughts on the pick of the Patriots game, give me the score, obviously who's going to win, and a deciding factor. What will be the deciding factor in your estimation that will make or break the difference in the game on Monday night between the Patriots and the Bills? Now, you've heard, of course, the PFW guys just a little while ago, if you were with us during the tail end of their program, you know, kind of break down a little bit their thoughts on who will win. It doesn't seem to me that there are too many people that think this will be a close game on Monday night, Eric.
No one that I've talked to. It all, everyone seems to
What's
think.
What's the official spread? I haven't even seen it. Is it?
Well, the one that Paul used, I think, was 11.
Okay. That's what I thought. I thought it would be double digits, but I wasn't certain.
11
because I haven't paid any attention to it this
like
week.
That,
so, all right, so 11, 11
double
and a half,
digits.
What have you. That's not a big surprise. You know, my guess is that I think that Buffalo, at least initially, is probably going to keep it close for a while. I think the Patriots will probably wear them down in the fourth quarter. And I am going to very much call for the type of game that we talked about a little bit here on yesterday's program that I think the Patriots will probably end up typically being in at least early in the season while they're trying to make sure that they, you know, are experienced, let's say, defensively. Because I do think the defense will have some trouble. I'm going to say right now 35-24. That's right on the button for what I was saying I think will be a typical Patriots game score.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know that the Bills will score that much, I'll be honest with you, based on what we've seen in the preseason. But then again, you don't know what you're going to see because it was the preseason. The Bills' offense, and we were right yesterday, the Bills' offense starting unit did not manage a single touchdown in the preseason. They managed one field goal. They weren't on the field that much.
Right.
But they still did not score a touchdown. There were a lot of three and outs, and they're still trying to get used to their no-huddle offense. T.O. yesterday, Terrell Owens, and his conference call, which we'll let you hear a portion of coming up in just a little bit here in our opening hour of the program today, if you haven't had a chance to hear it. I want you to hear it because it was kind of funny. You know, it wasn't funny, ha-ha. I think it was funny in terms of giving the insight to the Bills that I'm guessing that the coaches and Dick Geron in particular probably would not have wanted anybody around here to guess. He's not a big fan. As it was very clear listening. He's not a big fan of the way Buffalo is going offensively.
Would you, if your starting offense only managed a field goal in five games?
They're getting used to the whole no-huddle thing. Now, done right, I think the no-huddle can be very effective in certainly keeping a defense on its heels, not allowing substitutions to get into the game. The Patriots, of course, like to substitute.
They do it on occasion.
They do like to substitute, and they do like to bring in different sets for different down and distance situations. And we know how they like to go between 4-3 and 3-4 and over-under and all that kind of stuff that Patriots like to do. So I almost thought when I saw this in their first game, and the only time I've seen Buffalo this year was in that Hall of Fame game, and I thought maybe that they were going to go no huddle simply because, you know, first couple of games, you know, they keep a team like, you know, the Patriots guessing because the Patriots are the ones that usually do the dictating.
John, the whole Turk Schonert getting the axe thing, there seems like there's more to that story than we know.
Yep.
I mean, he'd been the offensive coordinator for the past several years.
Right.
And it's not like Dick Geron didn't know who this guy was.
Right.
I mean, sure, they were experimenting with the no huddle during preseason, but I have to think that there was more to the firing than just, oh, we didn't, you know, we only put 3 points up in the first five games.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It seems like that might have been a straw that broke the camel's back. But, you know, these guys have known each other. And Van Pelt's been on the staff. Alex Van Pelt, the new play caller, quarterback coach, de facto offensive coordinator, whatever you want to call him up there. So, you know, I was stunned that Geron kept the job this offseason. I thought for sure he was going to get axed. But when he was brought back and he brought pretty much his whole staff back, I had to think that maybe there was something in the works and this was just an excuse to get rid of the guy.
But
to do it at this juncture, you know, I mean, if you're going to do that, get rid of him in the offseason. Then you have your whole, you know, you have your mini camps, your OTAs, training camp. You've got that to work with the guy who you know you really want to be the guy. I mean,
right.
I don't know. Something seems awry here.
Well, I tend to agree that there's probably more to the story. In reading through some of the media reports out of Buffalo this week, it's almost as if they're kind of pushing it aside because I think they're trying to wait. My guess is they want to wait and see what happens on Monday before they start, you know, laying into people, hammering people. The one thing that I am getting a pretty constant vibe, and again, this is just based on what I've read over the course of the last day or so, that if the Bills struggle out of the gate, Geron is as good as gone. So
in week one?
I don't know that if week one is enough time to get that done, because it's that would be a little unfair. But I'm saying if the Bills struggle in their first three, four games of the season, then I think you could probably see Jerron gone.
Before midseason.
I think he is a prime candidate to be the first coach to be fired this NFL season. Now, I say that especially in light of the fact that one of the things I was going to bring up with Russell Baxter, who, by the way, NFL research coordinator for ESPN, who will join us on Thursdays throughout the course of the season here on the program, generally in our 3 o'clock hour, generally in our second hour of the program, and he's scheduled to be on about 3 o'clock today. But one of the things I want to talk with him about is the coaching changeover overall in the NFL, that since, I believe, the merger of the AFL and the NFL back in 1970, 11 new coaches this year with new teams in the NFL. That ties, I believe, the record for the single greatest year of changeover in terms of head coaches since 1970. And Jerron obviously is not one of those since he's been around.
Probably should have been.
But he could have been and maybe should have been, which leads me to believe he'd be the first one on the hook if the Bills struggle getting out of the gate.
And if that's true, I have no reason to think that's not true. Why not just get rid of him in the offseason? Why even bother bringing the guy back?
You
have that little faith in the guy that you're willing to pull the plug that quickly into a season.
I think Ralph Wilson, who, by the way, was, of course, a part of the Hall of Fame, and I think deservedly so for his, legacy in bringing professional football not only to Buffalo and upstate New York, but, to helping to legitimize the AFL. And strengthen the AFC after the merger. And, whatever you want to say about Buffalo, you have to give nothing but credit, I think, to Ralph Wilson. I mean, this is it's a proud franchise in terms of its history and its legacy of the game. And I thought his induction to the Hall of Fame was well past its time and very worthy. This having been said, I think Ralph Wilson likes Dick Jerron. The problem is that Jerron is the one that's feeling the heat, again, based on my own interpretations here. And so seeing this offense struggle as it was, and perhaps for some of the players on this team to grasp what it was they were trying to get accomplished in this preseason, he felt like, I've got to be proactive, otherwise my butt is going to be on the line quicker than I think it needs to be. So I'm the head coach. The buck stops here. I want to make a move. I've never really been comfortable with Turk Schonert. Schonert's a bit of a hard guy to get along with. I was going to use another word, but I'm going to, for the sake of yesterday's debut, I'm going to try to keep Jason, on his toes here. Let's just say that Schonert has been hard to deal with. And, of course, obviously, I think that plays itself out simply because of the yapping that he's done after the firing. I mean, he called it, basically a pop, Jerron wanted a Pop Warner offense, something easy that he could understand. And so that's what Schonert basically said to a Buffalo television station, over the weekend when he was let go. And, it's just created more controversy. And now when you add to that Terrell Owens saying what he did to members of our media here yesterday, which we'll let you hear in just a couple of moments if you haven't heard it, I think it's just piling on. And so, he's going to do things his way, because when he goes, he wants to make sure that he's had the full opportunity to do things his way. He didn't want to have to put the blame on somebody else.
Buffalo just seems to me to be a tinderbox waiting to explode this year between the uncertainty at head coach, the bringing in of Terrell Owens, who's a volatile personality, as we all know. If things, on offense start to deteriorate quickly, even in this game, Monday night, you could see an episode with him on the sidelines. And I don't think that's not good for the team. That's not good for their team. And, let's say your scenario comes true and halfway through the season, Jerron is gone. Who takes over that team?
That's a great question. I'm not sure that I can answer that. I don't even think, first of all, I'm qualified to answer it, but certainly that would have to come from within. I don't know that a guy like Alex Van Pelt would get it, even though he's being thrust now into the offensive coordinator's job. I mean, you're talking about moving a guy up pretty doggone quick. That's actually an excellent thought. Schonert might have been one of those guys you would turn to. Now that he's gone, who else do you turn to?
I guess your defensive coordinator, perhaps.
Do you know any? I mean,
Well, let me see if I can find their. Let me get their media guys so I can see their coaching staff.
Get their stuff. All right. So we'll kind of kick that around a little bit. But bottom line is that the Patriots are going to be playing a team on Monday night that is in a little disarray, a team that certainly has a lot of questions to be answered, And this would be, if you're a Patriots fan, which I assume many of you are, this would be a situation where you'd have to be feeling pretty good about yourselves. And you'd have to be feeling pretty good about your ability to take advantage of a team in that kind of a situation. Now, that having been said, once again, sometimes when teams are up against it, they answer. Is Buffalo, in your estimation, a team that has the physical talent capable of answering? And because I think the Patriots are going to be trying to feel their oats somewhat, at least on the defensive side of the football early in the season, and the Bills run an offense that has the capability of putting up points in a no-huddle situation. We know that they're going to be without a running back, you know, that's suspended for a few weeks, so that's obviously good, but, you know, you never can count out Terrell Owens.
This is last year's media guide, but I know that the coaching staff is
yes,
the same.
Stayed the same.
It's pretty much the same. You have two, it looks like, two candidates who would be in line there. Bobby April, whose title is assistant head coach / special teams, and he's a 18-year NFL veteran.
Better,
so
yep.
that could be one logical one. And then your defensive coordinator, Perry Fuel, is an 11-year NFL vet, third year with the Bills. So I think, you know, if they had to make a move, they could certainly do so internally. But, you don't want to go into a season having to think of those eventualities. That right off the bat signals that you've got problems as a team going in and you're not going to be competitive.
Yeah. Well, we'll kick this around a little bit as we go throughout the course of the hour here with Eric Scalavino, Patriots Football Weekly. Your emails are welcome, webradio@patriots.com. If you'd like to call, now's a good time to jump on board at 508-543-7482. I'd really like to get your predictions for the game on Monday night, who you think will win, what the score will be, and what you think the key component to that game will be. What will be the turning point? What will be the deciding factor in your estimation as you've done your reading, as you've done your searching on the internet, as you've talked to other fans? Maybe you have, you know, traded a little smack with the Buffalo fans over the course of the last few days. I'm sure that that's probably done quite often on PatsFans.com and a lot of other sites that are out there, and that's fine. I'd like to get your input and your insight of if you have something to offer, and we'll continue to throw some tidbits about the game your way. Of course, it is opening week in the National Football League season, and because of that, we've got the kickoff tonight, Tennessee and Pittsburgh. We'll talk with Russell Baxter about that in our second hour of the program as well, and we are going to get to some of the conference calls. Probably won't play all of them because they are available online for you to download if you'd like, but there are some snippets that I wanted to bring to your attention. Certainly Owens, number one. Number two, and I won't talk about the whole thing here because we'll play it in a little bit, but fact is that when Geron jumped on yesterday with members of the Patriots media, he was on the defensive from the get-go. Part of that was because a question was asked of him right off the bat about the firing of Turk Schoner.
Mm-hmm.
And he snuffed it out in good, solid Bill Belichick fashion right off the start.
Well, but how could you not if you're a member of the media?
Well, you
ask
have
that.
To. You have to. But what he did was he said, well, we'll be, you know, glad to provide you with the transcripts, and we're not saying anything else about that at this time. You know, and realizing, and you know, and he's media savvy. He knows that, you know, when you go with members of the opposing team's media, they don't often have a chance to jump in on everything that you do during the course of the week, that the obvious big story is going to be the one that is going to be asked about.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he handled it in the best fashion he could. I think he should have addressed it briefly and then moved on. But he didn't address it at all. Like, you know, the 600,000-pound elephant is in the room, and I'm not even going to acknowledge him. To me, that shows a coach that is really on the defensive, and he himself is reeling. Now, that's what I would do if I were a media coach.
Well, that's the thing.
You have to address it. You can't ignore, you know, the elephant in the room. You can't do it.
Even if you just give a short one-line answer and just address it, that diffuses, for the most part, usually, that diffuses the story
at
that point. Because then, you know, even if you come out and say, look, I realize you all want to talk about this. I realize it's a big story. For you know, just say, acknowledge that it's a story. Acknowledge that, you know, it's a challenge or whatever. And then move on. There's nothing else to ask the person at that point. Because then he can say, well, I already addressed that.
No. You know, so that's why I think it's very important that you are somewhat proactive about this. And he did snuff it out and cut it off before it had any more legs yesterday. But I just thought it was kind of curious and a little bit interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And like, okay, this guy definitely is feeling something. And it also kind of led me to believe, and I'm just kind of reading between the lines, it led me to believe there was something else going on. Something else going
probably
on within that organization, personality clash. Maybe they had an internal fight. You know, maybe there's something happened that, you know, obviously.
He got his jaw broken, didn't
well,
he?
That's what I'm wondering, you know. Maybe they had, you know, some words and, you know, there was a whole Tom Cable slash Oakland incident type thing going on. Who knows? We may never know the answer to that. We'll have an opportunity to visit with several members of the Buffalo media as the season progresses. Being the first week, a little difficult to catch up with people this week, especially since we have a shorter work week with a Monday night game and, of course, the Patriots Monday because of the holiday this last week being on Tuesday this week. So didn't really afford us the normal opportunities that we will have on this show because one of the things we do do inside the playbook is usually on a Wednesday, sometimes on a Tuesday as a recap, but usually on a Wednesday we'll visit with a member or members of the opposing team for the next week's media, whether it's a play-by-play guy or a beat guy or an analyst or a former player. Sometimes we have an opportunity to visit with an assistant coach. It just depends. This week the timing didn't work out, but the beauty of Buffalo is the Bills get to come back to Foxborough, and we'll do it probably on game week before they come back to Foxborough later in the season. So all that is on the table. 508-543-7482. Should we take a break? Let's take a break, then we'll come back, and we'll get to some emails, and then we'll let you hear in our conference calls inside the playbook.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey! Don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member PIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Terry!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochay. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Inside the playbook for a Thursday, Pats and Buffalo Bills coming up on Monday night. John Rook with you, Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly as well. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. That's how you reach us here on the program. We're going to get to Terrell Owens in just a moment. But, Eric, you've got an update on the practice going on out there, and the Patriots also naming their captains today.
Yes, they did. First, the practice report, some good news. Three players who'd been missing. Julian Edelman, Terrence Wheatley, Myron Pryor were all back on the field.
Good.
The only person that we noticed missing was Matthew Slater, who, as we all know, dealt with that arm elbow injury from the last preseason game.
Nobody was expecting him back anyway.
No one expected him back.
I have to admit, I'm still surprised that he made the team.
And didn't get put on IR.
And didn't get put on IR
or something. Yeah. Some list. That
right.
It's one of many stunning moves that the Patriots have made this year. But.
Probably not the last stunning move either.
No, probably not.
Right.
So good news there with pretty much everybody on the field for practice today. The team elected their captains. There are five of them. Some interesting names on here. Ones you would expect, like Brady and Moss. Ones who are a little bit surprising. Aiken, special teams, Sam
right.
Aiken.
Right.
Gerard Mayo, second-year guy, I believe. And we were trying to confirm this with the PR department. He's the first second-year NFL player.
To be named a captain?
To be named a captain in Patriots history.
In the Patriots history.
Yeah, we believe that to be the case. And your last one, a little bit surprising just because of what's going on, Vince Wilfork.
But
again,
maybe,
keep in mind, these are the team.
The players elect these captains.
Yes,
now,
not the organization.
This team actually had more captains last year, correct?
Yeah, way too many.
Way too many captains.
To me,
Vrabel was a captain. Bruschi was a captain. Harrison was a captain last year.
Like eight
and they're
captains.
All gone. So,
right. In my mind, you need three captains. Offense, defense, special teams.
Right.
That's it.
I would agree
that's
with
it. Any football team, that's all you need for captains. You don't need, I mean, I don't know.
It's a ceremonial
five
thing.
I'm okay with five, but anything more than that, it's ridiculous.
All right. Well, if anybody cares to comment on that, you certainly can. Webradio at patriots.com. Jason, who says signed it the Plague Rat in Pennsylvania, sends me this email. He says, John,
what
you got
rat?
The Plague Rat. P-L-A-G-U-E, the
wow.
Plague Rat in Pennsylvania. Says, John, you guys aren't the only team with live radio broadcasts. You guys are the only ones with a broadcast worth listening to.
Oh, thank you.
But I'm stuck here in Pennsylvania, and the Eagles have their Eagles live TV web stream most days with that bleep Dave Spadaro.
Oh,
I'm not going to say what
he's a good guy.
The production of their show is crap, but basically it's Spadaro being a homer and like 500 calls from Eagles fans spouting off like they're at some Eagles sports bar.
Oh, you know what? You just reminded me, John. I'm sorry to interrupt the emailer.
Nope.
But
right.
we have a listener from Indianapolis who's a Colts fan who actually listens to us.
Yes.
Because the Colts have a show with
yes.
three former Colts players are the talent on the show.
Is it a live show?
I'm not sure if it's live or not.
See, because I know there are a few other teams that do podcasts.
Yeah.
Which is obviously something that's taped, which you can hear this show later
right.
in the podcast. And in fact, several of you might be doing just that right now. So you never know.
Not right now, but
well,
not right now for
saying.
Us, but right now for them.
Yeah.
But anyway, this Colts fan listens to PFW in Progress and all of our programming here because he says the Colts one is god-awful.
Okay.
I don't know if it's live or not, but I thought it was. Maybe it's not. In any event. He said he can't stand it. And you would think, you know, a show with players, former players.
Would be good.
Might be interesting.
Yeah,
apparently the ones they picked are not getting it done, at least for this guy.
Interesting. He says, the Eagles cast doesn't have anywhere near the entertainment value or cast of characters that you guys have. Glad to have PFW in Progress back to its regular schedule and to have the playbook back on the air. So, all right, well, we appreciate that, Jason, or Plague Rat, whichever you prefer. The thought. I think what that I've seen that actually. That's more of a TV thing first, where they just kind of. I mean, it's a TV show first and foremost, isn't it? And he's sort of like the Eagles version of Fred.
Yeah, except he doesn't have the Paul, Andy, and Eric to
right.
support him.
He's all by himself.
He's all by himself.
That's what I thought. Okay. So.
And he does their sideline reporting for their preseason games.
Gotcha.
On their, okay. on their
okay.
local
all right.
broadcast.
All right. So there are some other teams that are starting to branch out at least a little bit, but nobody
following
has.
Following the lead of
nobody,
the New England Patriots.
That's exactly right. Patriots lead. Others follow. Nobody has a setup like we do.
And that cracking sound you heard was John and I breaking our arms as we patted ourselves on the back.
Yes, exactly. Oh, my goodness. All right. So let's now get to yesterday's conference call. Members of the Patriots media, now consider the audience here because you'll hear that from some of the questioning. Members of the Patriots media with Buffalo wide receiver, erstwhile Dallas Cowboy, Terrell Owens.
So how excited are you for Monday night?
I'm looking forward to it. First Monday night of the year, only one for us, and you know, obviously it's the kickoff Monday night game of the year. So definitely looking forward to it.
How's the toe?
Oh, the toe is good. Been practicing hard, running, cutting, so not a problem.
Sean Springs was talking about you today in the locker room. Can you talk about the history that you have with him and the relationship that you guys have?
Well, it's always been competitive. Sean is one of those big physical corners, one of the best in the league. If I have to think of, you know, good to great corners across the league, you know, he's definitely one of those guys. So, you know, obviously he's following me across the league. I think Belichick knew that with me coming to the Bills, then he had to find somebody to check me. So he went out and acquired him.
What's the toughest thing for you about dealing with a Bill Belichick coach defense?
Well, I mean, there's no telling what scheme he might, you know, present us. Obviously, he has some new wrinkles. I'm pretty sure he's had a lot of time to think about, you know, how he's going to contain myself, Lee. We got Josh in the slot, and obviously, you know, the success of this team really relies on our front six, so... you know, we're going to present some challenges, you know, for their defenses, just as they're going to present some challenges for us scheme-wise.
What was your reaction when you found out that you were going to have a new offensive coordinator a little more than a week before the regular season starts?
Well, I'm no stranger to surprises. I got the biggest surprise that anybody could ever imagine in March, so that was nothing. So, you know, it's just one of those things as part of the business, and you kind of deal with the shock initially, and then you let it wear off, and you keep moving.
What was that surprise back in March for you?
Me being released. Where have you been?
Good point.
And you just wanted to verify that?
Yeah, just making sure. What's been the most surprising part of your Buffalo experience so far?
The most surprising? Nothing so far. Like I said, I've already... You know, I talked to a lot of guys that played here before, and some current guys before I got here. So I kind of called those guys and kind of got a heads up on what to expect. And you know, I'm here to play football, and so that's pretty much been my focus and my priority. And so you know, that's that I'm taking.
What are your impressions of Trent Edwards so far?
Oh, I mean, the guy's has tremendous upside. Definitely a strong arm. We're definitely learning about each other, you know, every day, every week. And so it's only going to, the chemistry that we have, it's only going to get better. And, you know, the thing for us and this offense is communication just as well as it is across the league. And I think for us to be successful, you know, we both have those open lines of communication. And so, you know, I think we've had a great start at it. And, you know, we're both looking forward to continuing on throughout the season.
Do you like the no-huddle approach?
No, not really. But I got to deal with it. No, it's all right. It just gets you a little winded. And for myself, I haven't really practiced much the last few preseason games. So I'm still trying to get myself into shape. And that's coming around. We're doing some things in the offense that, you know, that will help me get in shape, you know, a little bit faster than I need to, especially with the upcoming Monday night game. So, you know, that's part of our offense, and we're looking forward to it. I've got a taste of it, you know, since the OTAs, and I know what to expect. And so, you know, that's sometimes that's a plus for the offense, especially if we can kind of wear guys down and keep them on the field, and you know, don't allow them to make substitutions. But you know, it's something that we're looking forward to, and we're going to try it out.
Watch plenty of film and broken down the Patriots secondary. What do you see from some of those guys, and what have you seen this preseason?
Well, new faces. Number one, obviously for myself, it's new faces all across the board because this is my first year in the AFC, AFC East, and so, you know, I don't really know too much about the guys, but just looking at them on film, you know, that's how I assess, you know, the way that I play. And so, other than that, it's all about a game feel, and you know, once we get out there, we'll take the first snap and see where it goes from there.
Terrell, have you been missing a lot of the preseason? Do you think you've been able to bring some swagger to that Buffalo locker room?
Well, if I haven't, I'll bring it Monday.
Do you feel like you do have something to prove, especially after what you said, getting the surprise of being cut and now coming out against the Patriots on Monday night?
No. I don't have anything to prove at all. I think, you know I have a lot of abilities to play this game. Before I left Dallas, I know firsthand that, you know, my receiver coach had a talk with Jerry Jones, and they asked him about my productivity and what he saw as far as what I have left in the tank, and my coach gave him a thumbs up. So I have, you know, no worries about the ability that I have to play, and, you know, anybody that has anything to question, you know, as far as my ability, those are their opinions, and, you know, they don't count.
Question, Tio. Even though you don't have something to prove on Monday night, are you going to prove something anyway?
I mean, I'll let my play do the talking for me. Again, you know, Monday night is, you know, that's pretty much a motivator and for everybody, you know, for every player, you know, playing on Monday night. So everybody's looking to, you know, play their best. You know, everybody has their uncles, grandmas, aunts and uncles watching, and you know, for the ones that are in the stadium, you know, they try to make it extra special. So you know, I'm no different from, you know, from those guys. You know, obviously my family will be watching, so I'm pretty sure, you know, the people in Dallas will be watching. But you know, never will I be out there thinking I have anything to prove. You know, once that ball's kicked off, then I'm like I said, I'm already in football mode. I'm already been preparing, you know, a week ago, you know, for this game. So I'm looking forward for the opportunity.
Darryl, what are the biggest expectations you have coming into this year, both for yourself and the team?
Well, I mean, I have my own personal goals, but I think you know, just coming in and you know, just trying to be a team player, obviously come in to help, you know, with this team where it's, you know, where it's lacking. And obviously, you know, they started out great last year, and they kind of fizzled off toward the end. So we're going to try to, you know, start off the same way and sustain it throughout the remainder of the season. So other than that, I think, you know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my ability to play this game and my ability to make plays. So my job and my personal best is on the line.
Do you enjoy going up against a team with a top right wide receiver like Randy, where he goes out and makes a play, and then you want to go out and make a play and just try to outduel each other?
Well, I mean, I think it's a situation where I think both parties, you know, you try to take advantage of the opportunity. You try to take advantage of what the defense gives you. And so, you know, if you know, Randy makes a big play because of something, you know, they saw within our defense, then, you know, we don't go out and try to match it. You know, we just got to, you know, take it one play at a time. And so if there is a play, you know, within that, within a series to where we can take advantage of the opportunity, whether it's myself or Lee, then we're going to make that happen as well.
Are you concerned at all Trent may try to force the ball to you just in certain situations as a young quarterback trying to keep you happy?
Absolutely no. Absolutely not. I probably got one ball today.
Terrell, you mentioned what the Cowboys coaches were saying about you in March. How much football do you think you have left in the tank?
Man, I feel good, bro. And I know this is early in the season, but dude, like, I don't know what it is. I just feel like I'm drinking from the fountain of youth every day. But I feel very, very blessed. I'm playing this game at a high level. I mean, if you were to see me practice, then you would never think that I'm 35. I mean, and I'm saying it because other guys tell me that as well. So, you know, I'm just one of those, one of many that are, you know, able to play this game, you know, at my age and still being able to play at a high level. So, you know, if I'm 35 and I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing, then, you know, I wouldn't be here. Like I said, I didn't get released, you know, from Dallas because I was 35.
Says he's not 100% sure what to expect from you because he's seen so little of you in the preseason. Is there something you have up your sleeve?
Or do you really believe that?
No. But nonetheless, anything up your sleeve that we should that you can give us a preview of?
No, I'm not up my sleeve. I might bring my spy camera out though.
Oh dear. We'll let you go on that one.
All right. Tell Belichick I said hello. I'll see you Monday.
All right.
I'm sure that the welcoming wagon will be ready for T.O. on Monday.
Well, you know what's interesting about that, John? T.O.'s personality is I think it's a lot like Chad. I'm going to call him his real name, Chad Johnson.
I know.
I don't like calling him Ocho Cinco, but you know who I'm
talking
about.
The roster says Ocho Cinco.
I don't care what the roster says. He and Chad Johnson have the same
personality. The artist formerly known as Chad Johnson.
Wouldn't you agree? T.O. might be a little more overboard with his off-the-field stuff. But on the field, at least, he and Chad have similar sort of fun-loving, spirited, anything-goes kind of personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And when you ask Bill Belichick about Chad, he talks very glowingly about him. And it sounds like he's the kind of player that Bill wouldn't mind having on this team.
I agree with that.
I wonder if that's the case with Terrell Owens.
I can't imagine why. I mean, listen, if he can't get along and coexist, well, actually, it doesn't come as a shock he couldn't coexist with Jerry Jones, because Jerry Jones in Dallas has an ego larger than the size of the state of Texas. I mean, just look at the monument, you know, that they just built, you know, the billion with a B, billion-dollar monument to Jerry Jones that the Cowboys just built.
And you're talking about the stadium that surrounds the scoreboard.
Yes, correct. The stadium that was built to house the scoreboard.
Right.
You know, in
the scoreboard
itself
is a monument to Jerry Jones.
Right. So it doesn't surprise me that relationship eventually went sour. You know, I think if Bill Belichick, in all honesty, thought that Terrell Owens could add something to his football team, that he would go get him. I mean, let's face it. We didn't know what we know now about Randy Moss when the Patriots went out and made a deal for Randy Moss, and Randy Moss was considered in that same sort of category right there with Owens and with Chad Johnson or Ocho Cinco, whichever you prefer now. He was in that same category.
Right.
Somewhat maligned, maybe misunderstood, whatever the case may be. But that didn't keep the Patriots from going after him.
Right. It's curious because you don't really hear Bill talking about T.O. unless they're playing him. But Chad Johnson's name or Ocho Cinco's come up several times in recent years. I mean, they've played the Bengals a couple of times, of course, but more so than they have faced T.O. But I'm just curious because he does talk very highly of Ocho Cinco whenever he's asked about him.
Well, he's had a chance to coach him a little bit in the Pro Bowl.
That's true.
And so I think because of their interaction during those situations, I think that's why he's developed a little bit more of an appreciation because he knows him better now. Maybe, maybe if Belichick or anybody in the coaching staff for the Patriots, for that matter, had an opportunity to actually work with him in a Pro Bowl variety or what have you, maybe the feeling would be a little bit different.
Maybe. Yeah, I find that.
I really believe this about the Patriots. If there's a player out there, regardless of what he might do, or how much he might pop off, how much of a non-team guy he might see, if the Patriots believed that that individual could help them win football games, they would still go get him. That also includes the whole Michael Vick scenario.
There's a track record there. Corey Dillon?
Yes.
Randy Moss?
Yes. That includes the Michael Vick scenario. I really believe the Patriots thought that Michael Vick could help them win games. They would have made a play. Now, a lot of people thought that Michael Vick might actually be a fit for the Patriots before the whole Eagle thing opened up.
Maybe they did or not.
That's true. We may never know. But because the Patriots did not have an experienced person at quarterback backing up Tom Brady, the thought was, hey, you know what? Why wouldn't the Patriots be a fit for Michael Vick? Frankly, I personally thought Michael Vick would be a fit here because I thought that he could be enveloped by this clubhouse, by this locker room, by this team aura, and somewhat protected and probably said and talked to, like, this is the Patriot way. You will follow suit. Otherwise, you will find your butt back out on the unemployment line very quickly. I thought this would actually be a good place for him to be, with a locker room full of, you know, Teddy Bruschi's at the time and Matt Leitz and other, you know, guys of strong, high, you know, character. And fact that, you know, that he wasn't, well, you know, hey, the Patriots obviously had other ideas. But I did think that it was a possibility at a time.
Maybe they, again, maybe they did reach out. But I, if they did, I find it difficult to believe that they would have given him an offer that equal to what Philadelphia gave him. Mm-hmm. I thought what Philly gave him was astounding.
Yeah, it was a lot. There's no question in my mind.
More so the option.
Yeah.
But even the $1 million for this season, I thought.
Yeah. You're right. And I think it's probably where the Patriots balked. Maybe they did, you know, make an offer or try to do it. But when they heard, you know, what Philadelphia was offering or maybe what Vic wanted, they probably said, nah, we're not going to do that for largely a backup quarterback who has mega baggage he's bringing along.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Who knows? We, like you said, we may never know whether or not they ever had interest.
Not unless somebody chooses to offer up that information.
But it's interesting now that they only have two quarterbacks, and one of them's the rookie free agent.
Well,
that, you know,
if you're not counting Isaiah Stanback.
I don't, because he's not on the 53-man.
Okay.
The Patriots did sign him, though.
Patriots did sign him as a quarterback, not as a receiver like he was with Dallas,
correct? Yes, but to the practice squad.
Right.
So going into a game, at least right now, there's only two quarterbacks.
Which is okay. They obviously felt like they needed the depth in other areas.
If they wanted to bring Stan back in as the number three on Monday, they would have to cut somebody.
That's correct.
So I look at it as they have two quarterbacks.
So there's no emergency third quarterback that will be listed Monday night. By the way, the injury report is due out in approximately an hour or so. And the reason it wasn't yesterday is because of the Monday night game, you're allowed the extra day there. So we'll get the first look at the Patriots injury report around 4 o'clock. If we do not have it, usually if we get it early, we bring it to you here at the tail end of the program here inside the playbook. But if by some chance it doesn't get here in time, Brian Lowe has the fantasy lowdown coming up at 4, and I'm sure he'd be happy to share it. Or you could just simply refresh your browser and you'll be up and running, because it'll be posted here on Patriots.com.
Or it'll be tweeted.
That's true.
Hey,
by the way, I want to mention something about social networking here, all right? Because obviously there's some very good sites to be able to do that. Real Patriots, I think, is one of the ones that you can get updates, things like the injury report and such. But I'm also a tweeter or a Twitterer. And,
I heard you were
careful.
Just a twit.
Yeah. No, I actually do that. I do that.
Let's not pull an Andy Hart, please.
Why? What did Andy do? What did I miss?
Change the vowel.
Oh,
and you have something very, very naughty that should not be said.
That is so Andy. That is just so incredibly like him.
And then he had his little Barney Rubble laugh.
Betty Rubble laugh.
That one
Yeah. I actually think it's very fitting. He does sound like Betty Rubble. He does.
You should know. I got a little wiener.
And he is a twit.
Oh, there's no question about that. But as far as tweeting or Twittering is concerned, I am also a Twitterer. So if you'd like to follow.
You have followers?
I do have followers.
How many followers do you have?
70, 80, something like that. You know, it's, I mean, not a lot.
Really?
But I haven't advertised
it.
A little more than eight.
Eight.
But I have not advertised it. So thank you. Thank you, Bill. And, Bill, you're one of them. So, no, I was just going to say, if anybody's interested, usually what we'll do is if we get updates on guests that we'll have for this show, I'll be tweeting that information. So in case you're interested and you want to go along, you can find me, J-Rook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722.
Okay,
that's
now,
my address.
Now, my question is, you know, I know a lot of the celebrities have, there are wacky fans out there who have set up phony sites. They're not real sites,
right.
But they're like
for instance,
Asante Samuel had an imposter.
Yes, for instance, my son was thrilled that he started tweeting and Facebook trading with Miley Cyrus.
Until he found out that it wasn't
her.
Well,
I said, do you really think that's her? And he's like, well, yeah, we're chatting right now. And I said, nuh-uh. Sorry to bust your bubble.
So my question is, that's
one of her, you know, lame lackeys that's doing that for you, buddy.
Are you did you have any?
I absolutely
any phony John Rook sites out there.
No, I do all of the tweets, and I have a Facebook. So if you want to friend me on Facebook, go find John Rook. I'm there. John Rook, Providence, Rhode Island is where, you know, the actual network that I'm in. But go find John Rook, and I will sign you up as a friend on Facebook, because we also do a lot of show content and show previewing. and Patriots things that come around through my Facebook page. So
if I find out that you're tweeting during games instead of doing play-by-play, I'm not going to be a happy person.
No, there's an NFL rule
right,
on tweeting.
Moratorium.
I can't tweet moratorium during the games. I can't do it. I guess, if somebody goes down on the field and after I make the announcement, I could pick up my little BlackBerry here.
You got too much to do during
the game. I know why you're slow on those calls. You're tweeting. Great.
Oh, no, I don't do that during games. Although I've actually had people who are, Big East fans and Friar basketball fans who have said, hey, are you going to tweet or do something during, broadcast and, clue us in on stuff if we can't be there? And this is largely for alums who are out of state and don't get a chance to come to the games or even see the games. And I'm saying, well, if the school would approve, the school has to kind of sign off on that because I don't want to do anything that's going to step on anybody's toes.
Aren't the broadcasts available through the web, though?
Yes, but unfortunately, you have to go through the CBS College Sports, their CBS College Sports website.
Yeah.
And so you have to subscribe to it, and it costs you like $7.95 a month. And we have some tightwads that don't want to pay the $7.95 a month.
So you can't get over the air for free?
Nope.
Because you have to
go through CBS College Sports.
For PC basketball.
For PC basketball, okay. Yes. Yeah,
it's not the case for other schools.
No. Now, for instance, the Big East football package that I do for ISP, the National Game of the Week, you can listen to it live on BigEast.tv, streamed for free. So anytime that I'm not here, Jason, all you have to do is go to BigEast.tv. That's where you'll find me.
So I can check up on you.
You can actually check up on me and make sure that
I'm
not trying to, jilt you on the show duties this day. So
I trust you. You're fine.
We are who we thought he was.
That's exactly right. I just wanted to let people know because I know there are a lot of fans that, do have a lot of Twitter followers or they like to follow people and they do the Facebook thing. And I'm out there as well. I'll be glad to friend you and all that kind of stuff. And that'd be one way that we can kind of keep a dialogue going when we're not here. Between 2 and 4 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday during the football season.
You you follow Mac Brown? Does he have a
I do follow Texas.
Yeah.
The
coach or is it just
it's a Texas football site.
Texas football.
Now Keno Davis, who is the Providence basketball coach, it's actually him.
Really?
We've actually talked about it. And he answers, he posts himself. He doesn't have anybody do his posting.
Really?
And he doesn't have anybody do his tweeting.
Really?
He does it all himself.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. That's impressive.
Which I think is admirable. Considering all the other duties that he has.
I think it's astounding. How does he have time to do that?
I don't know. But he sets a little time aside every day for what he calls social networking.
John,
And I do too. I think it's a smart thing to do. So I do a little social networking because, as you know, I also do a lot of work for a local children's charity in Rhode Island. And it's, a wish come true. Mm-hmm. And so anytime I get a chance to, tell people about the cause, I'm going to do that.
Sure, yeah.
And plus, I have so many other clients that I service, the Patriots and a lot of voice clients and Providence College and the Big East and ISP and other things going on. Frankly, a lot of my friends and family need to go to the website or go to my Facebook page just to figure out where the heck I am.
Do you find, though, when you get home at night,
yep.
when you're done working for the day,
yeah.
do you shut your phone off?
Yes.
Do you turn your laptop off?
Yes.
Just
once I get past about 6 or 7 o'clock, I will sit down. I always try to watch a national newscast just because I want to find out what the hell's going on during the day.
Yep.
I will watch. I pretty much know what's going on in the sports world because I'm kind of plugged in during the day. But I'll probably watch maybe the first 15 or 20 minutes of a sports center. Mm-hmm. I always try to catch a local sports cast as well just to know what's going on in my own backyard, whether mm-hmm. it's Boston or Providence. I'll try to watch something. But usually by 7:15, I am on to other things.
That's
I'm on
good.
To relaxing.
That's
I
good.
Will watch the Red Sox play. I darn sure I'm going to be watching the football game tonight because I can't wait. Like I know a lot of other people can't wait. But, my phone is off. Yeah. I will not answer it. Usually after about 7
listening?
O'clock. You all suck. Thanks, Jason.
They're playing
tonight. Are you going to explain now where that soundbite came from?
It was an email.
I was reading a fan's email. And the former person in your position, Gary Grodecki, never let me hear the end of that one. And so I'm glad to see that Jason's carrying the torch.
Do you want to tell me where this one came from?
Oh, great. Here we go.
I like masculine guys. Brady is too girly for me.
Is that another
email?
I would
destroy him in every sense.
Oh, I hear Brian Lowe's little chattering laughter.
That was also reading an email.
I think Bilo sent that email.
Yes, probably so. That was also reading an email. See, now this is what happens. If you choose to send an email here to the program, and I read it word for word, which most of the time I try to read them first and try to get through some of the gobbledygook that's there.
Misspellings,
other things. And then I will read it on the air. But this is what happens when I read it on the air, live for the first time without having screened it.
But at least you can coherently read the email. Unlike Fred Kirsch, when he does that, he gets himself in trouble.
Usually. But, you know, so I just want to say, if you want to catch me in a situation, you know, like that where, you know, Jason and Brian and everybody else who's here, whether two genders here or not, I mean, you know what? Just go right ahead. Send it. We'll have some fun with it.
Blah, 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 blah.
And it will live in infamy for at least the remainder of this year, I would think, right? By the way, this email comes from Matt in Framingham, who says, John, with so many new faces and so many old faces leaving us, I was wondering if you were going to do any interesting introductions for some of our new players. Also, what do you think of the new Touchdown song?
You know, I didn't hear the new Touchdown song. Is there a new Touchdown song?
Do you have the new Touchdown song?
Yes.
Can you play it?
Are you keeping it a secret?
You'll hear it on Monday.
So you're not going to play it for us yet?
I didn't notice during the preseason.
It did play at the Giants game because we actually scored.
Several times. But I didn't notice.
So you're not going to give us a sample here?
It's already out there.
It's out there. But
well, then what the hell is it? Because I don't even think
you're humming back there.
I didn't pay attention.
I am not at liberty to comment on the song
because
until after
changing.
The game on the fourth. No, I didn't say that. I've been told by higher authorities that I need to leave it alone until the 15th.
All right.
Okay. Well, all I'm going to say is there was some grumbling amongst
That's a great tease, though.
There was some grumbling amongst my peeps below me. You know, we have the open window there at the press box.
Yeah.
And so everybody usually turns around whenever I have something to say.
And they take it out on you?
Take it out on me. Yeah. These are the people that when we do the announcement to tell them not to throw snow, they turn around and throw snow. Thank you very much. So don't give me
that announcement.
Don't give me that announcement.
Well, what you need to do,
Stacey, anybody, don't give me that announcement.
What you need to do when you find out you have to make that announcement, you take the microphone, you walk back to the back of the room and hide behind something and then make the announcement.
Yeah. Or close the window.
It's a process. We don't have the things that just lift up. They fold open. And we have all this, you know, we have the scoreboard, we have the game clock, we have the play clock.
Why do you keep the window open on like a cold, snowy day?
Because it's football, baby.
Yeah,
I have never done a game, broadcast or otherwise, with a closed window. It's too much
ever?
Like a studio. Never.
Really?
Never.
You've been in that have like windows that you can't open?
I have been in the NFL.
He asked for a new booth.
This is 17 years now with the Patriots. And I have been a college football radio broadcaster for 16 years as well. I have never, ever done a game. I did even 2 years in the old USFL. You know that. We've talked about this because you're a former player. So, But never done a game in a closed booth. Hate it. The only time I ever did a game, I've done two games in a closed booth that I can think of, and it was only because the way the press box was built, the radio booth was set back inside the press box. One of them was at old Harvard Stadium when I did a Brown-Harvard game back in the Ivy League. And, you know, the windows wouldn't open. The second one, believe it or not, of all places, was at Florida State Stadium.
Doe Campbell.
Thank you. Couldn't think of the name. And their radio booth for network radio is actually inside the press box, and it's enclosed in a separate booth as well. And I'm like, well, how the hell are we going to hear anything? And they run a line from outside to get natural sound inside and feed it into the radio broadcast like you're sitting right out in the stands.
Oh,
but
well.
It's just bizarre. It is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen or been in my entire life, and I hated it every minute. So whenever I've had the option to open a window, no matter the temperature, windows are open.
I would love to see a game at Doe Campbell. That seems like a great atmosphere to see a
college football game. I did the last game between Florida State and Miami 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I did that one there before the one the other night, which was a dynamite game.
Yeah, it was.
Dynamite game. All right.
You should sit with John for a Patriots game. It's a pretty good view from there. I think it's better than where you normally
are. You could come down and observe if you wanted to.
I'm too busy. Too busy typing.
Typing?
Writing stuff.
Come down and type. We got room down there.
I don't want to get hit with snowballs.
But back to your
that's a good one.
To your earlier point, 1812 Overture and Elevation are definitely out as touchdown and extra point songs. The song that was played at the Giants game will be the song going forward, and people listening can expect to know more about that song in the coming weeks.
All right, and then I would also tell you then, for those of you who will be going to the game on Monday night or any other games this season, if you're listening here, Feedback is welcome, okay? Give us the feedback here. Webradio@patriots.com. Let us know what you think, because Jason reads all the emails. I read all the emails. Fred and obviously Eric and everybody else with PFW, they read the emails. We do take your feedback seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way we're able to kind of create the relationships that we've made here over the years, and why we like to think that, you know, we're somewhat, you know, well thought of within the NFL community with fans, because we do take the time to listen to what it is you have to say. So make sure you give us your feedback as well. Webradio@patriots.com. Thank you for being here again today.
You're welcome.
Are you going to say hello to Russell before you leave?
Sure. It's been, what, 9 months since we talked?
Since we spoke last?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, are you going to try to – you're going to get him? Okay. Do we want to break first before you get him?
I would take the call that's on the phone right now, and then we'll take a break, and then I'll get Russell.
Oh, wow. Wonderful. Wow. Okay, Andrew's in East Bridgewater. Andrew, welcome to the Inside the Playbook.
Awesome. How you guys doing?
How's it going,
good,
buddy?
Andrew,
what's happening?
Well, I'm wondering, who's starting for Seymour? Well, now that he's gone.
It's got to be Jarvis Green.
Well, I think it depends what they come out in, John. I don't know what they're going to come out in. If they come out in a 3-4... Or fourth, it changes whether or not they come out in a 3-4 or 4-3.
Even in a 3-4, wouldn't they still come out with Green at end? Because that's what they did when he subbed for Seymour when Seymour was injured.
Maybe, maybe. But they have two new guys who are rookies: Ron Brace, Myron Pryor. You've got Mike Wright, who can play any position along that line. He's done it before when other people have gotten hurt.
He played awesome last year,
and he played well last year. He actually started the Redskins game. In preseason, third preseason
that's
game.
That's why I'm thinking it's so logical to assume
any one of those guys could do that.
But you know, we seem to think if you have to put somebody down on paper, it would probably be Jarvis.
I'm not ready to say that. I don't know. I think you could have. I think if you come out in a 4-3, I think you could see left to right. Mm-hmm. You could see Warren, Will Fork, Brace, and Wright.
You'd see Mike Wright at defensive end over Jarvis.
You could. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I'd be surprised by that.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Jarvis Green in there. I wouldn't be surprised to see Mike Wright. I wouldn't be surprised to see any of those guys.
A lot of it may have to do with what the injury report says this week, too. So.
Or more than one. One might start. The others might play.
Sure.
Oh, I think they'll all play. Yeah,
they're all going to play.
I think they'll all play.
That will be as fluid a unit as we probably will see all year long, especially now with Seymour being gone. They're going to mix and match and give, and they're going to regularly rotate. So you can be assured you will see all of those guys play.
You'll see Derek Burgess come in on passing downs.
Passing downs, yes, exactly.
That'll be great because the opposing team will never know what they're going to get, you know?
Well, I think that's part of the reason why they didn't mind making this move, to be honest with you, Andrew, because I think they felt like it sort of played into their thought process of being versatile and being able to mix and match parts. Strange as it sounds, Patriots probably feel like, and I kind of feel this way as well, had a little less versatility with what they wanted to do defensively with Seymour in there, taking nothing away from his talent. The man still can play ball, and I think we're going to learn that this year if he decides to play. But I think that
you're saying because he did certain things so well, they had to keep him on the field,
correct,
as much as possible.
Correct, and that would limited touches and opportunities for other guys.
Now, what happens if Seymour gets that paper that says, you know, you got 5 days to report, and
he doesn't, and
it goes back to the Patriots saying, you know, what's going on with this guy? Is he going to come and play? And if he doesn't, he ends up back with the Patriots. They're not going to let him on the field, right? I mean,
well,
we're
entering uncharted waters here. This
has never
really
happened
before.
There's no precedent at all.
None that we could think of, and none that, you know,
nothing,
anyone else
nothing
has brought
up. Follows this particular set of circumstances.
Right. We talked about, somebody emailed in yesterday about Jake Plummer being traded from the Broncos to the Buccaneers a couple of years ago. He retired rather than play for the Bucs,
right,
but he made a decision.
Right.
Before he ever, you know, he didn't put either team in limbo. He just said, I'm not playing for that team.
Yeah,
I'm going to quit.
Done.
I don't see Seymour quitting because he's only 30 and he has plenty of, you know, some good football left ahead of him. But I don't know what he's going to do because if he risks, if I had to guess, I'd say he's going to show up tomorrow, the end of the week. And I don't know what his status will be for Sunday Monday night against the Chargers, the second Monday night game.
Right.
I think it might be too late for him to get in and have any action, but who knows? He's in shape, at least, from being in camp here. My guess is he'll show up late and maybe get in a few plays again on Monday night.
Yeah.
I can't see him risking sitting out a year, getting placed on the reserve suspended list or whatever list it is, report list,
right,
and not getting his paycheck and not getting his accrued year of playing time here in the NFL.
Right.
I have a feeling, I don't know if it's true or not, but I have a feeling that he is doing everything he can to try to stay with the Patriots before he has to go to Oakland. I mean,
but he's not with the Patriots.
But he's not here.
He's not here.
Here's
not with the Patriots.
Most likely what's happening, Andrew, and again, this is all supposition because nobody really knows this 100%. My guess is he's trying to work out a contract extension. He wants some guarantees. He's one of two things. Either A, that they won't lock him in and franchise him next year, or B, he's getting a contract extension and he's going to get the money that at least he feels he deserves and make it worth his while to go out to Oakland. Otherwise, you know, I guess anything is possible.
Or he's trying to get guarantees that they won't keep him after next year.
Right. In other words, if I come out there, you'll cut me loose, you won't franchise me, and I have a chance to make my money in free agency.
But if I'm the Raiders,
you wouldn't do that.
And I'm thinking clearly, why would I do that if I'm giving up a first-round pick?
Giving up a first-round pick, there's no way you'd
be
that.
Here for 1 year.
And so my guess is that's why we have the stalemate that we have.
Well, I don't think, either way you look at it, I don't think he really wants to go to Oakland.
Would you?
Well, that's what I said. I wouldn't. Would you?
No, not at all.
Nobody wants to go to Oakland. But, hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Andrew.
Love the show, and I'll be listening.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, Andrew.
Sure, appreciate it. All right, so Andrew at 508-543-7482. All right, let's get the timeout in here, and then we'll get Russell Baxter, NFL Research Coordinator for ESPN, joining us on Thursdays here inside the Playbook.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir?
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the change, patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services NA, Bank of America NA, member PIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, and the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and Internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
We're in hour number two of the playbook for a Thursday. We've got an email here from TG in New Jersey who says, "Welcome back, John and Russell. Great to be listening to your show again. One of the best segments on Patriots.com radio. Looking forward to the season. Keep up the great work." And so without further ado, we bring in the NFL's, ESPN's NFL research coordinator and my friend Russell Baxter.
Inside the playbook. Baxter!
Russell, how are you, sir?
I'm great, John. How are you? And you know what the beauty of email is?
What's that?
That I can email someone in New Jersey and have them say that.
That's true. Your brother TG, right?
Well, listen, as we've said on the air, and we discussed, I'm the oldest of nine children, so I have brothers and sisters everywhere.
See, they'd love to come in and do that kind of thing for you.
There you go.
It's great to talk with you. How excited are you for the football season starting tonight?
Well, this is my 21st season getting ready to do stuff for ESPN, and I'm just as excited as I was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That kid in the candy story mentality will, when it's over, you'll know. Because we won't be having these conversations anymore.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And I'll be going doing something else,
yeah, that's
like
right.
Writing my books and spending more time with my wife and daughter and so on.
You're writing?
Will not see me now for probably the next 5 months.
You're writing books?
Well, eventually. I mean, after I'm done this, I'll write my books about how I've had so much fun here and maybe a few other funny stories along the way.
Good, you should.
You spend 20 years at a company and you know, work with the caliber people that I've worked with, some very entertaining people, and a lot of fun. I mean, I've sat in a room here basically for almost 20 years watching games on Sunday with, you know, some of the greatest players I've ever played, some of the greatest people who do what they do for a living. You know, there's got to be a funny story or two. Or maybe 50.
Probably choosing amongst the funny stories, I would think, would be the problem.
Now, yes.
For those that may not know exactly what it is that you do, I'm going to just simplify it all right here. But when you hear, say, a Chris Berman or a Tom Jackson or someone along those lines on the set on a Sunday or on a Monday, you know, prior to the Monday Night Football game now or whatever it may be, when you hear them say, spout out some kind of a fact or a figure, a little nugget of information, chances are it's something that you told them, that you came up with.
Well, I appreciate that that endorsement there. And you know, we all work well as a team. I've been privileged to work with Tommy and Boomer now for 21 years.
Right.
And Chris Mortensen for a long time as well. And as I was roaming around the halls today, a guy you know mm-hmm. a lot better than I do is now up here at the Worldwide Leader.
Yep.
And that would be one Mr. Teddy Bruschi.
Sure. So. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I think that a lot of Patriots fans will be interested to see his involvement and what his input will be on the program. That'll be exciting. And I think well-deserved. I think you got yourself a good one there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I've only talked to him for a brief time, but we will find out.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's. I think the most important thing in doing this job is to be honest more than anything else.
Right. Absolutely. All right. You're one of the things that I love about you, Russell, is that when you send your stuff out every week and you do your compilation and you look at, you know, weeks as separate entities among themselves throughout the course of 17 weeks of regular season football in the NFL, every week there is a list of top five things to know, which is great. You share it with Mike and Mike on ESPN Radio and all that kind of stuff. It's great stuff. But amongst your top five things to know for week one, one of them has to do with the Patriots and the Buffalo Bills. Coincides with what San Diego is doing against Oakland as well in week one, but both the Patriots and Chargers own 11-game winning streaks against the Bills and Raiders respectively. And in this day and age of parity, I think that's extraordinary.
I know Patriots fans will remember with disdain what is often referred to as the Lawyer Malloy game on the opening weekend of the 2003 season in which the Patriots went up to Buffalo and got their head handed to them 31-0. I'm only bringing that up not for a bad reason, but I'm bringing it up because that's the last time the Bills beat the Patriots. That's how long it's been. And not only that, not only have they lost 11 straight to New England, they have not scored any more than 17 points in any one of those games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Patriots have stifled them every which way possible. The two games in 2007 were really embarrassing. I think it was 38-7 and 56 and change. And then, of course, last year, you know, Brady out, but still the defense prevailed. Shut them out in the season opener or the season finale in Buffalo. So they have really done a great job of shackling the Buffalo Bills during this 11-game winning streak.
Yeah, no question. Which, though, of the two streaks is more surprising in your estimation? Patriots over the Bills 11 straight or the Chargers over the Raiders in 11 straight?
I think they get equal merit because if you really think about it, the Raiders were last a very competitive football team in 2002.
Yep.
And it's since 2003 that they are 24-72, have not won any more than five games in a season.
Yeah, and the Patriots' record is almost opposite that.
Right, and the thing, but here's the thing you keep in mind, and this will go for the Bills and go for the Raiders. It's ending streaks like this, first game of the season or second game of the season, that sometimes can have long-term, season-long confidence effects.
Mm-hmm.
And when you finally get a monkey off your back, like the Bills and the Raiders will attempt to do, and it's just ironic that they're both playing on the same night, that can do wonders for your program. I like one team's chances a little better than the others, and I'm sure you could probably figure out which one I'm referring to, but sure. I'll give you a clue. It's not the Bills.
Yeah.
I think, to me, it's more a case of, you know, I look at the San Diego Chargers last year, who have dipped three wins a season the last 2 years, and then a Raider team that problem-plagued and organization problems as well, but they can finally get that San Diego monkey off their back. Who knows what could happen?
Yeah, I think it's, as you pointed out already, obviously it's kind of interesting, number one, that you have a Monday Night Football doubleheader to kick off the season, which is a great idea. Number two, I'm very grateful for the fact that the Patriots are the early game for obvious
right.
reasons. You know, and obviously it's something that ESPN's going to televise, so it's a pretty cool way to start out the football season.
Oh, no doubt about it. We've been doing the doubleheader now as long as we've had the package. The Monday Night Football package, and I think people like. I think one of the things that people like is the fact that the early game starts at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
by all means, got a chance at, you know, actually getting out of the parking lot before Tuesday. So that's all good.
Yes.
Just, you know, kind of continuing with the Monday Night Football thought since we started that way with the Patriots, the Bills, the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Seahawks and Rams. Looking at in Week One. Those are, the Seahawks have an 8-game winning streak over the St. Louis Rams. And amongst those three games are three of the five longest winning streaks current in the NFL over an opponent. Now, that's a real statistical oddity.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, conveniently on one night, but on Sunday, of course, you just mentioned the game as well. And, you know, some other streaks in there. Well, we'll see later in the season. Pittsburgh has beaten Cleveland 11 straight times as well. So a lot of them have to do with, you know, once you get a team's number, you get a team's number. I mean, and that's certainly the case with Buffalo and San Diego. And with even in a down year last year, you got to remember the Seattle Seahawks last year only won four games, mm-hmm. but two of them were against the Rams.
Right.
One was against San Francisco, and one was against the Jets. So really down year for Seattle. Not used to having down years as of late. They hope to rebound this season, but of course we'll see. But the Rams to me are almost a different beast. You know, Steve Spagnuolo takes over that team. And, you know, I think he's really got his work out for him. To me, they're one of the more talent-depleted teams in this league right now.
There are a lot of teams, though, that are on the opposite side of that. Certainly, I think that you could pick from maybe three, four, maybe as many as a half a dozen teams in the NFC as being potentially Super Bowl worthy. You know, you have to start with the defending champion Steelers in the AFC. The Patriots are there. Maybe the Titans are there as well. Certainly, a lot of people think well about the Baltimore Ravens. Nobody wants to give up too much on the Indianapolis Colts as well. So 10, 12 teams all in that mix. The one thing that I've noted, though, and then you brought this out when I was reading through some of your stuff earlier this week, is that the teams with the best win-loss record in the NFL during the regular season have not won the Super Bowl in 10 of the last 12 years. So don't put too much stock, Patriots fans, in 16-0 or that possibility.
Well, you know, think about it, John. The 12-team playoffs in the NFL has become a mini NCAA tournament.
That's exactly right.
I kidded with people last year. My pick for Super Bowl 43 before the season was the Colts and the Giants.
Right.
my backup pick was the Cowboys and George Mason.
Okay.
I'm glad you, well, at least that delayed laugh will help.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I was thinking, but my wait point a second, is, George Mason, when do they start fielding football?
Right.
Oh, but, it's a joke. Okay.
Right. But my point is look at the Super Bowl the last 2 years. A 9-7 team has won, been in it and almost won it. The year before, a 10-6 team did win it. Okay? I mean, the NFC sends a different team to the Super Bowl just about every year. You know, I think there's been 8 different teams in the NFC go the last 8 years,
mm-hmm.
I believe. No right. one's gone more than one. The last team in the NFC to go more than once, I believe, were the Rams.
Okay. Yeah.
Who went in 99 and 2001.
Right.
I mean, but you had the Bucks and then the Panthers and then the Eagles and then the Seahawks, and then the Bears, Giants, and now the Cardinals.
Right.
So it's, you know, take your pick.
A lot of parity.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in the AFC, if you really go back, we've seen the Patriots in 4 of them. We've seen Steelers in 2 of them.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the Colts. We've seen the Raiders.
Right.
You know, so it's, you know, it's a little more. But here's what it shows you more than anything else. Sound organizations are always in the mix. And that's why in this era where you see annually at least 5 or 6 different playoff teams a year, you also see the Colts going 7 years in a row. You see the Patriots a fluke last year at 11-5 and don't make it, but still a perennial playoff team. Pittsburgh's pretty much a perennial playoff team. Philadelphia, for the most part, although it's been on and off the last few years. The Giants have been there 4 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
What do they all have in common? They're all sound football organizations who do it right from top to bottom. They just don't have a really good head coach. They don't have really good players. They're a really, really run franchise run from the top up. And that's what you have to, it's like any other business, that in order to succeed, you've got to be sound from the top all the way to the bottom. And that's why those teams are always in the mix.
Right. Here's my favorite bit of information going into week one. This is my favorite little nugget that I know that you unearthed here. All told, 10 of the last 16 teams to get to the Super Bowl missed the playoffs the following season. So I guess the Cardinals and Steelers ought to be very careful.
Well, so much is made about the fact that 7 of the last 8 teams to lose the Super Bowl have not gone to the playoffs. It's like the Super Bowl losing hangover. But people forget the Patriots did not go back in 2002. The Buccaneers did not go back in 2003. And the last time the Steelers won, you know, Ben Roethlisberger was busy riding a motorcycle without a helmet,
mm-hmm.
and they finished 8-8, and they didn't go back. So it's not just the losers. I mean, it's mostly losers, but it's 3 winners as well.
Right.
And it's just a different beast these days, trying to figure it out. I mean, you know, it used to be, you know, for people who indulge in such things, picking against the point spread was very, very hard. To me, it's in a lot of instances, it's almost hard to try to pick who's going to win week in and week out, except for maybe a handful of teams that are extremely consistent.
Right. All right, well, traditionally on Thursdays when we visit in the past, we've taken a look at a few key games, certainly games that affect the Patriots one way or the other. While we have just a couple of minutes left here, if you don't mind, I'd like to touch on a couple of games.
I'm ready.
Number one has to be the opener tonight with Tennessee at Pittsburgh. It has the potential, I think, to be the best game of the entire opening weekend.
Well, yeah, the defending Super Bowl champion against what people forget, John, was the team with the best win-loss record in the league last year.
Yep.
13-3, and of course they were 10-0 at one time, but you know, slumped a little down the stretch. You know, they got kind of exposed by the Jets. Houston beat them late, and you know, then Indy beat them in a game that really didn't mean anything. But the bottom line was, 2 weeks later, Chris Johnson, the rookie that year, you know, second year back now, was running all over the Baltimore Ravens. Then got hurt. The Titans made a bunch of mistakes, and the Titans were bounced in the divisional round of the playoffs. Obviously, defense is going to be the order of the day. I know Albert Haynesworth is not with Tennessee anymore. They still got a lot of good, really young defensive linemen. You know, Tennessee's defense is very, very good. Pittsburgh's defense is probably a little better. A guy I'm going to be looking at tonight is so much about James Harrison, who is the defensive player of the year, but I think the breakout guy for the Steelers this year is Lamar Woodley.
Really?
On the other side, who had 11.5 sacks. I'll give you a Lamar Woodley stat real quick.
Okay.
Lamar Woodley, in his brief NFL career, has played in 4 playoff games and has 2 sacks in each of those 4 playoff games.
Wow.
He had 6 sacks in last year's postseason. including the game, the play at the end of the game where Warner fumbled
and
the Steelers recovered.
Right. So you're telling
me Lamar Woodley is a beast and a half, and I think he's going to be the Pro Bowl guy for them this year. Not that Harrison might not get back, but you know the Steelers are going to try to run the ball. You know they have odd ways of doing it now. They don't really use a fullback. They like the tight ends, but I think they've got a few too many playmakers. And I expect to see maybe at least one Kerry Collins pass go back the other way.
Yeah.
And I think Pittsburgh just finds a way to win this game.
Yeah, I kind of do, too. I favor Pittsburgh slightly in this one. Within the AFC East, another game that stands to be a pretty good one, I actually think, in opening week, Miami playing at Atlanta, two 11-win teams from last year.
And two first-year head coaches last year.
Right.
One who took over a 1-15 team. One who took over a 4-12 team.
And both did very, very well.
And both did very, very well. One won the AFC East. One got into the playoffs. And do you think people were noticing last year when the AP Coach of the Year votes were given out, Mike Smith won by one vote over Tony Sparano.
I saw that, yeah.
23.5 to 22.5.
How about that?
We got to find a guy who was Splitsville.
Split the vote.
Okay. But anyway, you know, much made about Matt Ryan's great rookie year. He had an excellent rookie year, but the guy who really made that engine go was Michael Turner, who they got from San Diego. He second in the league in rushing last year, just a workhorse. The first time he played for them last year, he set a team record with 220 yards rushing in the opening game. Miami, so careful last year. Them and the Giants set a new NFL record for fewest turnovers in a 16-game season. They only turned over the ball 13 times all year.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that proved to be their undoing in the playoffs for both of those teams. I think I like Miami here. Atlanta's defense a little inconsistent, and they're kind of rebuilding. But the big thing for Atlanta this year, John, is even if they don't get back to the playoffs, which I think they're going to win the division, but even if they don't, a winning season would be huge. And I say that for one simple reason. The Falcons, in their 40-plus year history, have never had back-to-back winning seasons.
That is remarkable. I'm going to go with the home team, but just slightly on that one. And then the other divisional game, and of course the Patriots' opponent coming up, Jets playing at Houston. First time for the Jets to be in Houston in 6 years.
Yeah, and of course everybody will be talking about Mark Sanchez, the fifth
making
pick
his debut
in the draft last year.
Right.
Is Matt Schaub going to be healthy enough to go the full game? You know, he got a little dinged in the preseason a couple of weeks ago. We get to see more of Mario Williams, you know, people who laughed when he was the first overall pick in 2006. He's turned out to be one heck of a player and arguably the best wide receiver in the league, Andre Johnson, for the Houston Texans. I have Houston, and I know a lot of people have done in the last few years, I have Houston maybe making the playoffs this year as a wild card. I still like the Colts in that division. And I think I like Houston chances this week, even though the Jets and that experienced offensive line of theirs, I think that's the key to this game.
Houston, the only team in the NFL since 97. Of course, then again, they only came into play in 2002, but the only team to have not made the playoffs in that span of the last, 12 years, right?
Yeah, well, since 2002, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
You just go back to 2002. Even the Browns have been in the playoffs
since
2002. So
right.
Since they realigned, John. The Texans aren't the only team, but maybe this is finally their year.
And then, of course, the Monday night game, Buffalo at New England. And is Dick Geron the first coach, you think, on the firing line if things struggle early for Buffalo?
Well, I don't know what the record is for hiring offensive coordinators in one season. but even when we thought they had their act together last year, the Bills slumped down. Remember, they were 5-1, didn't win a game in the division last year. They went 2-8 in their last 10 games. If they would manage to win this game, they could end a whole bunch of futility, get the season off to a good start, snap the division losing streak, snap the losing streak to the Patriots. I think that's a lot to ask, and I wouldn't be surprised if they got shut out by New England for the second straight time they played them.
Wow. Okay. Well, I think there'll be a lot of Patriots fans who will be loving to hear that and loving to see that if it happens on Monday night. Russell, great to talk with you again. Thanks so much for your willingness to be a part of us on Thursdays during the course of the season. And I'm glad football's back, baby. I hope everything's well at home with you.
Absolutely. And if TG writes again, tell him I said hello.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Thanks, Russell.
Okay, John.
Russell Baxter, NFL Research Coordinator for ESPN and the family of networks, with us here, as he will be each and every Thursday right here inside Patriots Playbook. All right, we're going to get to some of your emails, some other facts and figures about the Patriots and Bills to share with you for the Monday Night Football game coming up. Webradio@patriots.com. The email address, 508-543-7482, the telephone number, as we count it down inside the playbook.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush, but you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We are American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football, bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Is it gone?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services NA, Bank of America NA, member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
John Rook back with you inside the playbook. You're on Patriots.com radio. The Patriots are 16-21 all time on Monday Night Football. But this includes a streak of five straight wins on Monday night, dating back to a 31-21 win at the Jets, which was December the 26th of 2005. In case you were interested, at home on Monday Night Football, the Patriots are 7 wins. 8 losses all time. There were some bleak days back in the old Foxborough / Sullivan Stadium. Last season, the Patriots beat the Broncos 41-7 in their only Monday Night Football appearance. That, of course, was here at Gillette last October the 20th. This week's game will be the fourth time now that the Patriots will open the season on Monday Night Football, and the first time since 2002 when the Patriots opened up Gillette Stadium, I'm sure you'll remember, with a 30-14 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers back on September the 9th of 2002. Patriots also opened the season on Monday Night Football in 79 against Pittsburgh in Foxborough and at Denver in 1998. So a little about the Patriots history, Monday Night Football, when it comes to opening up the season. In season openers, the Patriots have won 12 of their last 14 home openers, and they are a perfect 7-0 all-time at Gillette Stadium in home openers. Patriots have won 5 of the last 6 regular season openers overall as well, including 5 straight wins dating back to 2004. And I think we all remember what that one might have been. Was that the 31-0 debacle against Buffalo? Probably. Okay. But that was, of course, at Buffalo at the time. Let's get to some emails here, and then we're going to let you listen into the conference call conversation that the Patriots media members had with Buffalo head coach Dick Geron coming up in a bit. And then, of course, at the top of the hour, we have the Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe from our Patriots Today staff and a frequent contributor, as we've mentioned, here inside the playbook throughout the last few years. And he will talk about not only fantasy football and maybe some of your potential picks, but what the Patriots' influence might be in terms of fantasy participants as well. So all of that's coming up here at the top of the hour. Now, this email comes from our friend Alejandro from Bogota, Colombia, who says, "Hello, John. Nice to hear you again. I hope everything is good with you and the family. It's also nice to have Russell Baxter for the opening week." Alejandro, always great to hear from you. On to the questions. Have you thought how those Longhorns are going to break your heart this season? Well, as Strippers knows very well, who's a dyed-in-the-wool OU fan, the only way the Longhorns are going to break my heart is if, by some chance, Colt McCoy goes down with an injury. Otherwise, there's no question in my mind they have enough talent on that team to be playing Florida, whoever or whomever, out of the SEC for the national title. This team is that strong this year. He says, are the Steelers the team to beat in the AFC? Yes. Yeah, I would have to say absolutely. They are the defending champions. I'm very much old school in my way of thinking that until the defending champions are beaten, and when you consider especially that the Steelers have 21 of their 22 starters back from last year, there's no reason not to pick the Steelers. So, yeah, I would say the Steelers are definitely the team to beat. The Patriots could be one of those. But if you're matching teams up in week one, you'd have to say the Steelers are definitely the stronger team. Defensively, they hold the edge until the Patriots prove otherwise. And then he says, can you give us your fearless Super Bowl prediction? Well, I don't usually do this. I usually try to do this maybe by around the middle part of the season. But since you asked, Alejandro, in the NFC, I actually like the Chicago Bears. Don't ask me why. I think they've got a mix. I think they're going to be hungry. I know that the trendy pick is Green Bay, and a lot of people think certainly that Philadelphia is Super Bowl worthy. And yes, the New York Giants are very Super Bowl worthy. But all things being equal, right now I'm thinking Chicago, a slight edge. And you could take your pick from, you know, Green Bay and New York and probably Philadelphia thereafter. As far as the AFC is concerned, well, right now I'd have to go with Pittsburgh. I'm not a complete and total homer. If the Patriots can show us that, you know, sending Richard Seymour off to Oakland or wherever, because the rumors are out there. Many of you probably have seen this on ProFootballTalk.com and some other sites out there that there's a strong rumor going around that Oakland might spin Richard Seymour if he continues to balk at not reporting. They might spin him off to Carolina and in return get Julius Peppers. That's a very popular rumor that's going on out there right now. Whatever happens, I still like Pittsburgh. If the Patriots can prove that the Seymour absence doesn't greatly impact them like it could, then the Patriots will be right there in the mix. Keep in mind now that the trendy pick for having the best record in the NFL is San Diego, because San Diego's schedule is not as difficult as either what the Patriots or the Steelers have, and that it could be the Chargers that would end up with the best record in the AFC, which means that the road to the Super Bowl would have to go through Southern California. That doesn't necessarily guarantee you the fact that you're going to be in the Super Bowl, but let's just face it that even though, you know, the Patriots or the Steelers could be the better team, it might be The Chargers were the best record. I hope that helps. Mark in the UK says, John, it's great to have you back for the new season. Do you think with the rule change this season, as regards to the wedge in the return game being taken away from the receiving team to prevent injuries, that this will open up the return game massively, making players such as Devin Hester even more dangerous? Or do you think it'll be business as normal with this rule change making very little impact? Well, I think it stands to at least initially, Mark, have an impact. I think you're going to see more teams being willing to bring it out if a kick goes into the end zone, say, inside that first 5 yards. That's my guess. Now, teams always, though, end up game planning and adjusting to rules changes. So I don't think it'll be very long before you see some teams being able to sort of get around the fact that there is no wedge. And I kind of think the wedge was overrated to begin with anyway. When you put that group of linemen or linebackers together and you create that wedge and you run your receiver or your back behind that wedge in an effort to gain more yards. Most of the time when receivers, kick returners break long plays, they do it on their own because they find one little crease. And sometimes that crease, I'd say more often than not, that crease is due to an individual block rather than a wedge plowing the road. So I think the wedge is a bit overrated anyway, but the wedge was done for injuries, as you already suggest in the email. So I'm not so sure it'll have a definitive difference, but I think you'll see more receivers initially take chances thinking that they can create a little crack. Game prediction on Monday, says Mark. Patriots 38-17. Pats find their range in offense with a more balanced attack with 150 yards rushing. Defense will definitely give up a few big plays, including some penalties. Burgess is going to get a couple of sacks. There is still some time to go before the defense settles down and all the players gel. I'm really looking for Merriweather to make a big step up this season. He has the talent, but this season is all about consistency for him this year, especially with his tackling. So glad it's an early kickoff on Monday. Starts at midnight over here in the UK. I always watch the games live if I can. The late kickoffs are killers, and thanks for the hard work. And, Mark, thanks for the contribution. Great stuff. TG in New Jersey sends another note here. He says, John, one of my biggest fears is that Dick Geron gets axed, and Ralph Wilson, because he wants to win now, spends the big bucks and hires Mike Shanahan. We do not want Shanahan in our division. He's the one coach who could beat Belichick. Well, that's an interesting thought. I think you're right about that would be somewhat concerning. Obviously, you know that Mike Shanahan is good friends with Bill Belichick. He actually appeared during the opening part of training camp this year at Patriots training camp here in Foxborough. Spoke to the team as well. And I tell you what, if they fire Geron, Ralph Wilson, that's the one coach I think I would go after. If you're going to go after a quote-unquote retread, and that sounds a little negative because I think Mike Shanahan is still a good enough coach where he can be effective. Don't be stunned if something like that happens. It certainly would make things more interesting in this division. I mean, you got the Jets anyway, right? That's already a rivalry, and now with Rex Ryan opening up his mouth and everything else that's going on. And
bulletin board material.
Absolutely. Great bulletin board material. I am anticipating fantastic bulletin board days, especially in the games and the days leading up to the games. Oh, and we have them on the schedule upcoming, do we not? Yes, we do. I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, with the Bills and with the Dolphins, certainly will make things more lively within the confines of the AFC East. So, hey, I'd say bring it on. All right, we'll get back to a few more emails in a moment. Right now, though, let's go to the conference call with the aforementioned Dick Geron, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills.
Okay, how are you?
Not too bad. Excited for the first regular season game to finally be here?
Yeah, you know what? We are. We had the, of course, we had the 5 preseason games, and just seemed like training camp and preseason went forever. So, yeah, it's very exciting.
Obviously, there was a surprising decision that your team made to release your previous offensive coordinator and make that change just a few days before the season opener. Can you talk about what went into that decision?
You know, I've said pretty much all I'm going to say about that. And obviously, we have the transcripts of the press conference that we held. So if you don't have them, which I would kind of assume that you already do, you can certainly call us and we'll send them to you.
Dick, how has it been moving forward, the adjustment and getting ready for Monday night with that being said?
Good. You know, good. We, so far everybody's got these extra days to get ready this year, you know, or actually usually. You usually play on Thursday, your final exhibition, so you have a couple of extra days, and we certainly need them, and we've used them, and hopefully we've used them well. There's a lot to get ready for. You know, there's no secrets how good the Patriots are, and you know they've got great talent and they're well coached, and they've been doing it together for a good deal of time with a lot of success. So we needed the extra time. Hopefully we've used it well, but it's gone fine.
Dick, to get ready for playing against Tom Brady in this offense, are you watching film from, along with the preseason from this year, are you watching film from last year or from 07?
Well, we tend to watch a little bit of both, but we're looking at him specifically when he played. So last year, of course, he didn't play. And then we're looking at all his preseason plays. And then we look at their, you know, the scheme overall in general. I guess we go back as far as you reasonably can, you know, and you try to match it with what they've done in the preseason and see where the similarities and if there's any dissimilarities or new things. And then, of course, you got to look at the new personnel and the additions and understand, too, that you haven't seen it all. There'll always be something that they surprise you with and do it very well. So, again, a great challenge for us, but we're looking primarily at when he played.
Speaking of holding things back, you guys have only had T.O. on the field for, I think, 7 plays in the preseason. Have we seen anything of what he's going to do Monday and then throughout the season?
Well, in Terrell's case, of course, he had, unfortunately, had the toe injury in the Hall of Fame game, and it kept him out. You know, and then, of course, in the last game, he had just practiced the previous week, and we're going to play many of our starters in that game. But I think, you know, Terrell Owens has a huge body of work behind him. I think people have a pretty good idea of what he does and what he does well. And he's been very productive wherever he's been, and we're hoping that's the way it stays. You know, we're really happy with having him here. And I've coached against him, and he was just a problem. A problem that you didn't like to deal with. So I'm glad he's with us now.
What's it like to coach him, being on the other side?
Being with him?
What's it like to be his coach?
I like that a lot better so far. You know, a lot better. He keeps you up at night, or at least he did me. You know, as a defensive coach, because he's got a unique combination of things. He's got size and strength, and he's got speed down the field, and he's a competitive guy. So he was difficult for our teams to play against. Having him with you every day, you know, you gain a lot of respect for his work ethic, his ability as a player, certainly. I haven't seen many players I'm not sure I've seen anybody that works any harder than him. I haven't seen many players that work as hard.
How strong of a personality is he in the locker room?
Well, I'm not in the locker room a lot. I go through there. I'm not in there with the team a lot, as you would suspect. I don't go in and linger. I go through there every day. I talk to people briefly. So I can't really answer that. I can tell you that he's got a presence on the team. He's very good with our players. You know, he speaks anything that has to do with football, he's very into on the field. Otherwise, he's all business. You know, he works at it.
Dick, obviously Aaron may have been missed a little bit of time in camp. How far along is he, and do you think it's going to take a little bit of time for him to kind of be an impact player?
Well, he's done a real nice job in the short time he's been with us, but you know, you just can't miss that much time and have it not hurt you in some ways. I believe he's got his legs under him. You know, he's coming off the ball well. He's a guy that has a terrific work ethic, and he's got a nice, gets a nice jump off the ball. And, you know, that's really what we were after. We're after for some help pass rushing the passer. I think he can give it to us.
Dick, you use the no huddle all through the preseason. Is that something you'll continue to do, or are you considering scrapping that?
No, we're not considering scrapping it. So, yeah, you'll definitely see us in the no huddle.
why did you decide to go that route? Is it a matter of your personnel? What was the thinking behind that?
No, but to be perfectly honest, which is usually a pretty good thing to be, I've always wanted to do it. It was direction I wanted to go here when I got here. And for one reason or another, we just never got to it. We certainly practiced it, just never got to it. So I do think you have to have certain personnel to fit it. I think our personnel does fit it, and really excited about it. Clearly, we need to get a lot better at it, and we need to get a lot better at it fast, because once again, we know who we're playing, and they're awfully good.
What is that type of personnel that you need to run a no-huddle offense?
I think you could probably figure it out. I don't think it's exceptional. Let me put it that way. Exceptional to almost any NFL team, if you know what I'm saying. I think everybody's got the personnel that could play it. Generally in the NFL, I believe you have that personnel on your football team.
Is it going to be odd to play against a Patriot defense without Richard Seymour?
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously been such a terrific player for them and a force on the field and kind of a face, one of the many faces of their great team and teams. So yeah, it'll be different. It'll be different. We certainly have a lot of respect for everybody that's there, but he's really been a terrific player for a good number of years.
Will it be natural for not just you, but opposing coaches to maybe test out his side or whoever's on playing with the Patriots there?
Well, it's not like we don't know Jarvis Green. He's a very talented player, and that we know their players, and clearly they know their players, and they know they were good enough, deep enough to make this deal. So I don't see that happening. I think we respect the whole group up there, but we know he's gone, like everybody else in the league does. It's certainly been a lot published about it. Just really a good football player. Wish him the best,
Dick, can you speak about Trent Edwards' development and how he's come along?
Yeah, here's a young quarterback that's gaining experience kind of every snap on the field and hopefully gaining confidence, because there's a position that you got to be very confident to play, and you got to have a very, very short memory because there's a lot of things that happen to you. He works hard at it, very into it. He's a competitive guy. He's very into his team and his teammates, and he wants to get it done. He's got the skills, he's got the skills, so hopefully we'll just keep growing, and he'll get better and better every snap. That's what we're hoping for, but it's certainly not an easy position to play.
That's Dick Geron with members of the Patriots media during the conference call here at Gillette Stadium as we get ready to wrap up this edition of Patriots Playbook and get you set for the Fantasy Lowdown. There's some news concerning the Bills that was just released out here by Mike Florio on ProFootballTalk.com. He said, looks like John Runyon is going to be heading to Buffalo and with a possibility of signing with the Bills. Florio reporting that four teams interested in Runyon, Chiefs, Eagles, Bills, are the three that are known. Runyon has started every game he's been in since 1997, but he had microfracture knee surgery in the offseason and just recently received clearance to play again. So he worked out for the Eagles, today, and then he, is getting on a plane, and he's traveling to Western New York tonight, and he'll meet with the Bills tomorrow. Obviously, I don't think he'd suit up and play on Monday, but, in this day and age, you never know. The offensive line for the Bills certainly appears to be a potential trouble spot going into the game on Monday night because Derek Dockery was cut early in the offseason. Jason Peters was traded to Philadelphia. Langston Walker recently got the boot as well. So Florio reporting that John Runyon apparently is going to shop his wares to the Bills as early as tomorrow. All right, let's get some emails in here, and then we'll do a little fantasy with Brian Lowe in a moment. Robin sends this email No, you don't want me to say anything about that, Jason? Come on. Well, I was actually going to say that earlier, but now I'm not allowed to say anything about it. See, there's absolute positively, there's, you know, what is this, Russia?
It's a conspiracy. What can I tell you?
So you're telling me then Robert is dead on about this song, the touchdown song?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just trying to let the conversation die.
You're absolutely, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that at all. Not buying that at all. So Robin, let me just put it this way. Apparently you're right.
I wouldn't read between the lines that way either. She could be way wrong.
What happened to good, honest reporting? All I'm doing is reading an email here.
You could throw it out there. I'm not going to confirm nor deny the accuracy of the email. Okay. Go for it. You could read it if it makes you happy.
You might end up, you know, having Brian Lowe replace me. I could get fired for this.
You won't get fired for it. Go ahead. Right. Read the email.
Robin says that she says, unless her sources are wrong, the new touchdown song is This Is Our House by Bon Jovi. It's a new song, and it's going to be on their new album. So that's what she says. She even put a couple of the lyrics down here. This is our house. These are our people, mister. This is our town. This is our home. These are our colors. This is sacred ground. That actually makes perfect sense to me, if it is that.
It would be a good song. It would be a good song. I should try to download that.
Jason's going to let me have it after this is over here. Mike in Erie, Pennsylvania. Didn't T.O. refuse to be traded to the Ravens before he went to the Eagles? Can you compare the two? Yes, he did. He did refuse to be traded to the Ravens before he went to the Eagles. That was when he was still with San Francisco. He was their property. And then they worked out a trade that was mutually beneficial to both parts. As we welcome in Brian Lowe here from Patriots Today, do you remember that particular instance?
T.O.?
Yeah, the T.O. deal when he was being traded to Baltimore from San Francisco, and he said, I don't want to go.
I do. I think. I don't remember if it, you know, I think they were close on a trade, or it actually happened, or something. I don't remember what kind of rights he had or whatever. But
they ended up working out a deal. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I guess it's conceivable that he could not have reported had the trade been consummated, but that never happened.
Right. I don't remember it ever being anything close to what we're dealing with now with Richard Seymour as far as being traded to a team and it just lingering and not reporting. It was, and also I think it was, it's different when it's in the off season, I think, too, as opposed to a week before the season begins, and teams are preparing for that first week opponent.
Right. Let's see. Pat says, sup, John. This sounds crazy, but could Seymour retire to avoid going to Oakland, then unretire and come back with the Patriots midseason? He could still get paid for playing. Pats keep the first rounder. Is that possible? There's got to be some kind of a clause somewhere that keeps that, you know, devious kind of thinking from actually occurring. Although I like the way you think, but I'm, you know.
Yeah, I think if you retire, there's a certain period of time where your rights remain with your original team. In this particular case, as of this moment, his original team would be the Oakland Raiders. He's their property.
That's true.
So if he retired right now,
he would be with the Raiders.
He's a Raiders property, and there's something.
But until he reports, doesn't he still?
He's on their roster. I mean, he's on their roster. It's extremely vague. I haven't found a clear.
See, I thought until somebody actually reported that they were the former team.
It's murky,
property.
John. It's murky. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It's a good, interesting topic.
All right. By the way, Robin sends an email back. He says, "I understand the confusion, but I'm a male." Laugh out loud. Okay. I thought it was a female. Okay. Well,
says, fair enough.
Right. Robin is a predominantly boy's name in the UK, where he says he was born. Okay. He does say, however, though, it's great to have playbook back, so that's always good. And then we got Kevin sends his email. He says, I'm a longtime Pats fan from Monmouth, Illinois. It can be pretty lonely out here in Bears country. I've been checking Patriots.com for the past year. I've never heard of this show, and I'm hooked. Well, then where have you been? Been checking Patriots. Obviously, we're not very well featured prominently on the website. We've got to talk to the webmaster about this.
Send your complaints to webmaster@patriots.com.
I know. He says, is there a way that I can listen to you live on the web? So obviously, Kevin is listening to yesterday's show on a podcast. Otherwise, you'd be listening to this show live right now. Does that make sense to you?
You know, I'm trying to process that in my brain right now, John, but I think I have you. I think
Does
I got
make
you.
Sense?
Know, between the live programming, the repeated programming, okay. the podcast, there's right. a lot of it's a lot to digest.
Yeah. Well, all you got to do is just go to where it says live audio and on the website, and you'll find it. So anyway, we welcome you into the fold, Kevin. Brian Lowe has got the next program here on Thursdays. It's called the Fantasy Lowdown. Tell us a little bit about the show, the premise, and what you'll be doing.
Excited for week one of year two. So I guess this is year one, year two, week one of the Fantasy Lowdown, getting you prepared for the fantasy weekend ahead. We're email-driven. I know just like you are, webradio at patriots.com. We want you to ask us who, you know, you're debating who to start, who to sit, your outlook on the coming week, and just have a good, laid-back information and chatter about the fantasy week ahead. We got a guest today from rotoworld.com, Chris Wessling. We're going to be talking about a really intriguing...
Oh, I know Chris. Yeah, I've talked to him before.
Yep, we'll have him on in just a bit. And, you know, week one of the NFL season and also of the fantasy season is always very... You know you're going to be surprised. We'll try to wade through and sift through some of that and really get it going for this next hour.
All right, and so I guess if you have your fantasy questions for B-Lo, webradio at patriots.com, same email address, so there you go.
There you go.
Right?
There you go.
Fire him off. All right.
Send me yours, John.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll see you as a contributor inside the playbook starting in a couple of weeks,
right? No question. Hopefully every Tuesday we'll be chatting about the game that just went on for the Pats.
Beautiful. Brian Lowe, Patriots Today, and the Fantasy Lowdown. It's upcoming here. Thanks to Jason. Hope I still have a job. I guess you'll know
you
on Monday night if I'm there or not. Thanks to Eric, of course, for being here from Patriots Football Weekly and Russell Baxter from ESPN. Same Pats time, same Pats channel next Wednesday, folks, because it'll be the Patriots Monday programming on Tuesday next week. So we'll see you next Wednesday. Pats and Bills, Monday night at 7 Eastern here at the stadium.